Parmenides Audiobooks presents an unabridged recording of Homer, the Odyssey, translated and narrated by Stanley Lombardo. Odyssey, Book 1. All the other Greek heroes who survived the war at Troy have returned home. Only Odysseus is still missing, held against his will by the nymph Calypso, and persecuted by Poseidon because Odysseus blinded his son, the Cyclops Polyphemus. While Poseidon is away, Zeus and Athena agree that it is time for Odysseus to return to his home. Hermes will be dispatched to Ogygia to inform Calypso of Zeus's will. Athena goes to Ithaca to give hope to Odysseus' son, Telemachus. Athena arrives at Ithaca disguised as Mentes, an old friend of Odysseus. Odysseus' palace has been taken over by a large number of young nobles courting his wife, Penelope. Athena, as Mentes, advises Telemachus to sail to the mainland for news of his father, and to deal with the suitors and his mother decisively upon his return. Penelope comes downstairs to complain that the song the minstrel is singing about the hard journeys of the Greek heroes returning from Troy is adding to her grief. Telemachus tells her he is now master of the house. Then he confronts the suitors. Athena casts sleep upon Penelope. Telemachus goes to bed in high spirits.
Speak, memory, of the cunning hero, the wanderer, blown off course time and again after he plundered Troy's sacred heights. Speak of all the cities he saw, the mines he grasped, the suffering deep in his heart at sea, as he struggled to survive and bring his men home, but could not save them, hard as he tried. The fools, destroyed by their own recklessness when they ate the oxen of Hyperion the sun, and that god snuffed out their day of return. Of these things speak, immortal one, and tell the tale once more in our time. By now, all the others who had fought at Troy, at least those who had survived the war and the sea, were safely back home. Only Odysseus still longed to return to his home and his wife. The nymph Calypso, a powerful goddess and beautiful, was clinging to him in her caverns and yearned to possess him. The seasons rolled by, and the year came in which the gods spun the thread for Odysseus to return home to Ithaca. Though not even there did his troubles end, even with his dear ones around him. All the gods pitied him except Poseidon, who stormed against the godlike hero until he finally reached his own native land. But Poseidon was away now among the Ethiopians, those burnished people at the ends of the earth, some near the sunset, some near the sunrise, to receive a grand sacrifice of rams and bulls. There he sat, enjoying the feast. The other gods were assembled in the halls of Olympian Zeus, and the father of gods and men was speaking. He couldn't stop thinking about Aegisthus, whom Agamemnon's son Orestes had killed. Mortals. They're always blaming the gods for their troubles, when their own witlessness causes them more than they were destined for. Take Aegisthus now. He marries Agamemnon's lawful wife and murders the man on his return, knowing it meant disaster because we did warn him. Sent our messenger Quicksilver Hermes to tell him not to kill the man and marry his wife, or Agamemnon's son Orestes would pay him back when he came of age and wanted his inheritance. Hermes told him all that, but his good advice meant nothing to Aegisthus. Now he's paid in full. Athena glared at him with her owl-gray eyes. Yes, our father, who art most high. That man got the death he richly deserved, and so perish all who would do the same. But it's Odysseus I'm worried about, that discerning, ill-fated man. He suffered so long, separated from his dear ones, on an island that lies in the center of the sea, a wooded isle that is home to a goddess, the daughter of Atlas, whose dread mind knows all the depths of the sea, and who supports the tall pillars that keep earth and heaven apart. His daughter detains the poor man in his grief, sweet-talking him constantly, trying to charm him into forgetting Ithaca. But Odysseus, longing to see even the smoke curling up from his land, simply wants to die. And yet you never think of him, Olympian. Didn't Odysseus please you with sacrifices beside the Greek ships at Troy? Why is Odysseus so odious, Zeus? Zeus in his thunderhead had an answer for her. Quite a little speech you've let slip through your teeth, daughter. How could I forget godlike Odysseus? No other mortal has a mind like his, or offers sacrifice like him to the deathless gods in heaven. But Poseidon is stiff and cold with anger, because Odysseus blinded his son, the Cyclops Polyphemus, the strongest of all the Cyclopes, nearly a god. The nymph Thoosa bore him, daughter of Phorcus, lord of the barren brine, after mating with Poseidon in a scalloped sea cave. The Earthshaker has been after Odysseus ever since, not killing him, but keeping him away from his native land. But come now, let's all put our heads together and find a way to bring Odysseus home. Poseidon will have to put aside his anger. He can't hold out alone against the will of all the immortals.
You have been listening to Homer, The Odyssey, translated and narrated by Stanley Lombardo. If you have enjoyed this book and this performance, Parmenides Audiobooks recommends Homer, The Iliad, also translated and narrated by Stanley Lombardo. For additional information, please visit our website at www.parmenides.com.